Oh, the Lord is so good. And really, the way He works things out, I've been there where I find myself, Lord, I see the way it just has to work out. It has to work this way. I see the way it just has to be. And then God mercifully does it a different way and far better. And you say, Lord, please don't listen to me. Do it your way. I could have never imagined how wonderful your way is. And you start to, Lord, I look forward. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and I can entrust it into your safekeeping, and even my very soul into your safekeeping for the rest of this life and on into eternity. Matthew 25, we're going to look at the last part of well done. Living a life aimed at those words. Living a life aimed at the words, well done. So Matthew 25, it is funny, well done. That's a term that we'll use at the steakhouse, right? You go to the steakhouse, and how do you want your meat? And some will say, well done. And that well done is not well done for some. I consider it well done if it's you know, medium. That's I consider it well done if it's not well done. I want it to, you know, not be, you know, dried out and, you know, like a charcoal briquette. There was a preacher, a good friend of mine. He was talking there in 1 Corinthians. I have it here. In Corinthians. First Corinthians 13:3. He was talking about, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and though I and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And he said something like, if I live this life, filling it with sacrifice and service, and not for the love of the Lord, it profits me nothing. And I could even be a martyr and give my body to be burned. And if there's no love, I'll never hear the words, well done. And it was just funny, just to imagine the body to be burned and not well done. And just kind of those two things, he mistakenly kind of put those together, and the crowd was like, whoa, you know, never heard the well done. So it's not a cooking expression, except I do bring it up when we talk about there in, what's the passage, Hosea 7, verse 8, when it talks about Ephraim as a cake not turned. And so it's like a pancake that only gets cooked on one side. Ephraim wouldn't turn to let God cook him all the way through. And I have a lesson that I shared with the shepherds this summer, the naughty pancake, that it wouldn't turn. It wouldn't get cooked on both sides. It wouldn't be well done, cooked all the way through. And so in that story, I do kind of bring up the idea of you're not going to hear the well done unless you're well done. Unless when God goes to turn you, God lets you do a thorough job with you. Ephraim wouldn't turn. He was a cake not turned, a naughty pancake. So when God says turn, you better turn. So he can cook you all the way through. You can be well done. But really, the well done of eternity. And really, this life aimed at those words. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about, there was a pivotal explanation. What's this life all about? And we realized that we have ability from God. And because all that we can do is from Him, God expects a dependability. God wants a return on His investment. He's serious about it. He gave you the ability, and He wants you to use it for His honor and glory. So we better be dependable with the ability He's given us. And then we're going to stand before Him someday. So there's ability and dependability and accountability. We're going to stand before God one day. Last week we looked at a pivotal explanation. And then last week we looked at a powerful denunciation. There was the servant in this passage. We'll go ahead and read it as a reminder, and we'll talk about that. So Matthew 25, verse 14, it says this. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he which had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So there was a time of responsibility, and then there was a time of reckoning. There's always a time of responsibility. This is our time of responsibility. The time of reckoning is coming. God gave you breath. God gave you ability. And someday we'll answer for what we've done with those things. And so he that received the 5 talents, verse 20, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And again, we're aiming at those words. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So we looked at him last week, the powerful denunciation. We saw that there's a good chance that he had a frustrated view of his own feebleness. A frustrated view of his own feebleness. Well, I haven't been given as much as somebody else. I can't do anything with how God made me and how God equipped me. Really, it's kind of his fault. I haven't been given as much as other people. Then he had a false view of the foreman, or you know, the one that was in charge, the one who gave him the responsibility. In this story, the false view of the father and a false view of the father's son, the master. Boy, you're impossible to. I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. I knew you. You're impossible to please. Your standards are so high. And we know that wasn't true. The other two were able to do it. And then he had a fearful view of failure, a fearful view of failure. What if I try and I don't succeed? And we learn, really, now get this. Success in this life is if you're just where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and trusting the Lord for his strength, you can't fail. You can't fail. What does success look like? Being where you're supposed to be. Can you do that? Can you just be where you're supposed to be? Doing what you're supposed to be doing and trusting the Lord for the strength to do it? That's success. You say, I don't know. I don't know if I could succeed. Yes, you can. Don't let the devil fill you with a fearful view of failure. What if I try and I don't succeed? It's just a matter of being where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing and trusting the Lord for his strength. And lastly, he had a faithless view of the future. He was not living as though the master could come back at any moment. Well, we come today to a possible commendation. The ones that did right with what they were supposed to do, they enjoyed those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So there in verse 21, and there also in verse 23, the verses are identical, except for I think there's one verse that has an additional vowel in it. But they're basically identical. Those 2 times, the 2 servants, they both heard the same commendation for being faithful with what God had given them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So, we want to live a life aimed at those words. Right now, your life should be aimed at those words. I can hear well done from God Almighty, and I want to. So I better make sure that I'm doing what I should be doing now. I want to live a life aimed at those words that are more precious than anything else. To hear God say, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done, I'm proud of you. What a blessing. But what does God mean by those words? A lot of us we human beings are arrogant. We assume because we like the sound of that, that we're just going to hear it. I'm going to get to heaven someday, and he's going to say it just because, well, I'm impressed with me. I imagine he is too. But what does God mean when he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? What is he looking for? What is God looking for? Well, I think in those words we get some hints. Well done, not just done, but well done. There's a quality in the workmanship that he's looking for. And then, well done, but there's also good and faithful. Unfortunately, we know from the Bible, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But we'll get into that. But the second thing, there's a Christ-likeness to our walk that he's looking for. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's the character of the worker he's looking for. And then I like this part. He says, I will make thee ruler. There will be a coronation of the willing. Boy, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If we're faithful, we can hear those words, and he will make us ruler over many things. It's an exciting thought, standing before God one day. Now, we want to make something very clear. There are two judgments with eternity. There's the great white throne judgment. We're not talking about, you say, well, are you talking about a works salvation? I certainly am not talking about a works salvation. There's the great white throne judgment where man isn't judged on his work. It talks about that in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. There we're judged on Jesus' work and what we did with his work. He did the work of saving my soul. And have I trusted in what he has done for salvation? So that's a different judgment, the great white throne judgment. So we're talking the well done. This is for those that belong to Christ. What have you done with what he's given you after salvation? Because he's worthy of your service. But we're not talking about a works salvation. As far as eternity is concerned and having a home in heaven, it's not what I've done. It's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Have you come to him for salvation? If not, I don't care what Christ did. I don't care what the Father. He looked down and he saw my need and he sent his precious son to die in my place. And I don't care what he saw. And I don't care what his son did. I'm not trusting in what he did on the cross. Oh, you're going to be there at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. It's not going to be good. Your eternity will have already been decided. There's another judgment, though, for believers, those that belong to Christ. There, it talks about that in 2 Corinthians 5:10, the judgment seat of Christ. And there, the believer will be judged according to what he did with what God has given unto him. I guess it's similar to enlisting in the military, right? You don't have to pay anything to enlist. It's free. It's free. You go in, it's like, hey, what is this all about? They'll explain it to you. They want to make sure you understand what you're doing. Then it's free. But once you sign up, are you aware of this? They have expectations. Are you aware of this? they think they own you to some degree, and a greater degree than you think at first. So when you get saved, boy, it's free to get saved. You say, what is this salvation? And somebody sits down and says, well, let me show you. And God up in heaven, he saw that you had a great need and you were bound for hell. And he sent his son to die in your place because you deserved hell, because you're a sinner. You were a rebel against your creator, but God sent his son to die in your place so that you could have a chance to belong to him. And boy, you see all those things and you say, how much does it cost? Nothing. It's free to enlist. But keep in mind, the chance to join up with God cost Jesus a great deal. And when you sign up, it's free to sign up. But just like the U.S. military has expectations when you sign up, God has expectations when you sign up as well. And he takes them very seriously. So, there in 2 Timothy 2:2, it talks about us pleasing him. Well, let me just go there real fast. 2 Timothy 2:2, this idea of signing up into God's army. 2 Timothy 2:2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So when you sign up, he has expectations. When you get saved, it's free to sign up, but he has expectations. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. All right, so let's get into these things. Have you signed up? Do you belong to God? Well, he has expectations. And how will we be ready to stand before God someday and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So first of all, well done. He's looking for quality in the workmanship. Not just done. We didn't check off all the boxes, but well done. God cares how things were done. We were just there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The next verse, it says, if a man strive for law, masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Lawfully. Not just that you do what you're supposed to do, but that you do it in such a way that it honors him. Well done. He's looking for quality in our workmanship. There in 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about standing before God. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not that you stayed busy for God. You filled your life with something and said it was all for him. No, you filled your life with the things that he wanted you to do in such a way that he was honored and glorified with what you did. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Boy, this last graduation, it was so fun to move those tassels. I was standing right here. And oh, the look on their faces when they came across the platform. The years that had gone into that moment. The look on their face and a look on my face of, praise the Lord. This is exciting. And I reach up and move that tassel and then pray that they don't stumble as they're going down the stairs here, the guys with that gown that they're not used to wearing. But oh, an exciting thing. But guess what? For that moment to happen, we had requirements in our college that they had to adhere to. They couldn't just show up here and then keep themselves busy. No, they had to find out what our requirements were and set to fulfilling our requirements. Not just filling their life with odds and ends and saying that I can't wait to that graduation day. It doesn't work that way. They have to sit down and find out what are the requirements and submit to those things for years. And when they did that, When they found out what the requirements were, and they submitted to them, and they did those things, oh, the joy when they walked across. Well done. How many Christians do whatever they want to do and say, well, it's for him. You're not fulfilling the requirements. And you're not going to hear the well done that we arrogantly think we deserve just because we like the idea. I am impressed with me. Why wouldn't he be? Oh, the joy. And then we don't really do this, but sometimes the graduates will take those mortar boards and throw them in the air. But oh, the joy someday there. We're talking about this in Revelation 4, when the crowns that the Lord gives, the end of Revelation 4, and taking those crowns, and not throwing them in the air, but casting them at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what an exciting thing. But we need to know what his requirements are and submit to those things. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. He doesn't say just stay busy, but what you do must glorify him. That's what he's looking for when he wants to say someday, well done. And it takes work. I've told on myself before, right? We human beings, it takes work to actually live for his glory, right? With you walking along and you see some garbage, and like, oh, I'm going to pick that up. And while you're picking up, you think, I wonder who's watching me do this. Maybe I'll pick it up later when there's somebody in here. It's tough. We're selfish with our glory. We want to be lifted up and elevated. I pick up garbage because that's just the kind of person that I am. And who can see me? Am I on camera? There it is. There it is. Wait for it to, I don't know, does it pan? Wait for it to come up. Okay, now, you know, good. They saw me. It takes work to do all to the glory of God. To just, everything I do, I want to smile on his face. I don't care who sees it except for him. That's what he's, the well done, that's what he's looking for. The quality in our workmanship. We're here at our stewardship time. There in Mark 12:41, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And in a little bit he talks about that widow woman. So he watched. He doesn't care as much that they put money in. He cares how they put money in. He loves a cheerful giver. Dr. Vogelin mentioned it Thursday night. Some of us pay our tithes like we pay the IRS. They're going to get it anyway. I might as well just turn it over so I don't go through the fight. Or we give to God like he's Nipsco. Well, he does provide a good service. I'm glad the lights turn on. I'm glad there's heat there. I do get things out of the deal. But God wants a cheerful giver. The person that lights up when you give to your child and you anticipate the look of joy on their face when they open the gift and, thank you. Thank you. And, that's what I was looking for. The joy of seeing you delighted. A cheerful giver. I remember going, Mr. Snyder was talking about there in West Virginia. My dad was born and raised in West Virginia, but I grew up in Utah. So every year we would make the trip out to see the cousins and the grandparents. And I remember we would go to church. So I was the new kid. You know, I would go to church and I'd be dressed up and I would sit in the Sunday school class there. And I would, you know, try to answer some Bible questions. And I noticed a pattern that year after year, they would give me the quiet seat prize. And I'm thinking, wow, they must have never seen anyone like me. Little did I know, you know, you try to give the new kid the quiet seat prize if he's at all behaved. But I'm mistakenly thinking, wow, I must be amazing. They must just be in, where does this kid come from? You know, we're astounded by this kid. And again, this person that doesn't know me from Adam has declared me righteous enough to get the giant sucker. You know, you think, well, I must be amazing because this person who doesn't know me thinks I'm amazing. Is that how it works? Or are things good when the one who truly knows us is saying, I'm pleased. I'm looking forward to saying, well done, one day. He's looking for quality in our workmanship. Secondly, he's looking for Christ-likeness in our walk. And so we mentioned this already, because again, well done, thou good and faithful, that should bother us. Oh no. How could he ever call me good and faithful? I know my Bible. My Bible says in Romans 3, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. How would I ever hear those words, good and faithful? There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. How could I stand before God and hear the words, well done thou good and faithful, when I know that description of humanity is so accurate? Paul said, and we're talking Paul in Romans 7, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We're in trouble. How could I ever hear the words good and faithful? But I know there's one who's ready. Jesus, the Bible says there in Acts 10, 38, where Peter was describing Jesus to Cornelius, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. He was good. Jesus came. He was good. He went about doing, oh, he's ready. He's ready. He's also faithful. There in Revelation 19, verse 11, I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Yay! He's good. He's faithful. He's ready. But not me. What can I do? Well, there's good news. In Romans, chapter 8, verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants to conform us to the image of his Son. Jesus is good and faithful. And the more Christ-like I am, the more chance I have of hearing, thou good and faithful servant. Just like Paul when he said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, we need to go to the, oh, Father, do your work in my life. Take your hammer and your chisel and chip away. Sculpt me. Change me. Lord, I submit to you. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Change me. Lord, conform me to the image. Help me not to be shaped after this world or shaped after my heart. Help me to submit to what you want. Make me more like Jesus, because he's good and faithful. And the more Christ-like I am, being saved, having that position of righteousness, and then a life ordered after those things. I want to hear good and faithful, and it's Jesus who's good and faithful. I want to be like him. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. And lastly, the servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's looking at the care. Oh, lastly, we'll look at the coronation of the willing, but there, the character of the worker, servant, the character of the worker. There's a dirty four-letter word in this world around us, obey. Obey. You bring up the word authority, and people bristle. What's he about to say? Obey. Authority. You know, somebody telling me what to do? Ah, servant. Servant. You're going to stand before God and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Doesn't it make sense that you're going to want to know what a servant does? A servant obeys. Boy, yeah, you can find someone that can tell you, no, you do what you want to do. You don't put yourself under anybody. You're too important. Don't put yourself, this is the day of grace. You want to hear the word servant? Well, be a servant. Remember years ago, my children were smaller, tried to teach them, listen, obedience should be done sweetly and completely. Sweetly and completely. There in 1 Samuel 15, Saul got in trouble. And us, the way we read, you know, it's like, man, he was supposed to wipe out the Amalekites. And he wiped out most of them. And the way we interpret obedience, like, wow, good man. You know, how embarrassed would you feel if you're like, hey, look at that, most of them are gone. You walk up, you're like, well done. You're patting the king on the back. And then the man of God comes around and says, hey, I have a message from God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You did not obey completely. You obeyed to the level of your satisfaction, not to his. Whose satisfaction are you living for? Servant. Far too many Christians obey to a level of their own satisfaction and then they stop. And not to his. And he doesn't see that as obedience. He doesn't say, wow, wow. He says, you've disobeyed me. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Well, then serve sweetly and completely. Not to your level of satisfaction, but to his. When my kids were little, I remember Alec. Well, you guys know, it's so easy to kick off your shoes without untying them, right? We all have it down to a science. You're like, ah, oh, let's see. You know, so mom, we would say, now son, don't come in the house with your shoes on. We don't want you tracking dirt in the house. And so he's like, oh, okay. And then mom adds, and untie those shoes. Don't just kick them off and fling them to the corner of the garage where the shoes are kept or whatever. Untie them. Well, the one, if he comes in with no shoes on, I'm like, okay, good. But the other one, mom and dad aren't checking on that much. We don't say, okay, look, you don't have your shoes on. Now let's go out to the garage and make sure that you obeyed all the way and the shoes are untied. No, and so it's easy for a young person to say, well, the one, mom and dad check on. The other, they don't check on. So I'll be careful about the part they check on. The other part, I don't have to worry about. I will be as obedient as they make me be. That's not obeying sweetly and completely. Are you as obedient as you're made to be? Boy, that might be a definition of disobedience. Are you as obedient as you ought to be? That's what a true servant is. Not just the things they check on and make us do, but the things that please him. That's what we should be living for. The last thing there, I will make thee ruler. I will make thee ruler. What a fun thought that God would do those those things for us. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler. There in Revelation 5 and Revelation 20 and in the book of Daniel, it talks about being made kings and priests and during the millennium having responsibility. God is going to give positions of authority to those that were just faithful to him. There in Luke 18, verse 8, Luke 18, verse 8, there's a question that God asks. Luke 18, verse 8. And Jesus said unto him, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? We mentioned it earlier. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Here, these people just, they were where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to be doing, and trusting in God's strength. And God says, you're faithful. You're faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We have a coronation of the willing. Coronation of the willing. Those that will just say, Lord, not my will. And it's in that model prayer, isn't it? There in Matthew 6. That prayer that we're supposed to be praying often. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Me set apart to you and to what you want, Almighty God. So we human beings are a bit arrogant. We think that we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, just because we like the idea. I'm pretty impressed with me. I imagine he is too. But I think we got a sneak preview of what he's looking for in order for us to hear those words. Well done. The quality of the workmanship. Doing it all for his honor, his glory. Man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Those requirements that he set forth. And then the Christ-likeness of our walk. How much like Christ are we? He's the good and faithful one. How much are we submitting to the Father's work, making us more like Jesus? And then servant, the character of the worker, obeying sweetly and completely. Boy, faithfulness, that counts for a whole lot in eternity. Are you ready to hear those well done, those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? And then just to look. It was so fun to see those faces come across. And I hope it was fun for them to see mine. The Lord is looking forward to our faces coming across if we understand what he's looking for. And we were faithful. But oh, can you see yourself looking across, and there's the Lord Jesus. And the look on his face. And just like they sang, he's got his hand up ready to move your tassel. And you see the nail print in those hands. And walking across and just looking into the face of Jesus, a smile on his face, and hearing, well done. Gives you a crown. And taking that crown and saying, it's all for you at his feet. Well done. Living a life aimed at those words. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with us. Lord, help us to please and honor and glorify you. Lord, we saw in your word, I believe, some of the things that you're looking for in order to hear the words, well done. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's not saved. Mr. Snyder gave that testimony talking about coming to church and hearing the gospel and raising his hand and saying, Christ did that for me? Yes. Yes, I want to be saved. He died for my sin. Yes. He shed his blood for me. Yes, I want to trust in what he's done. Maybe there's someone here today, oh God, that's never trusted in the Lord Jesus for salvation. I pray that they would do that today. But Lord, I imagine there's a lot of people here that are saved. They have enlisted in the Lord's army, but they haven't taken your expectations very seriously. And Lord, if we're not fulfilling your requirements, Lord, we're not going to be ready to hear those words, well done. Help us, oh God, not to be busy doing the things that we want to fill our lives with, but opening your word, finding your expectations, and pouring our lives into those. Be with this time of invitation, I ask. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.